I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but I'm colorblind to some degree. So this morning I was rushing about getting dressed, and in doing so, I got my blue sports coat with my black suit pants. I didn't notice till I got out of the car, so please forgive that. It's good to be back with you. We missed you while we were gone, and that simply tells me how we've already felt a connection with the congregation here. And so it's good to indeed feel like we've come back home from being up north. And I'm sorry that Connie's not feeling well, but she also has that same sense of being part of the family here. And so thank you very much for that. And we look forward to starting the new year. I would need to make an explanation for you. The back of the bulletin is blank this morning. It wasn't so that Trevor could simply get his discount, so I put out a front page. But the back page began to jam, and I'm not sure where that jam is in the printer back there, so that's why there's no back page. I do want to remind the young people I'm looking forward to next Sunday night after our services at 6:30. We're going to meet at our house on the second Sunday night of the month, and looking forward to that time with the young people, so I hope you are as well. I'm not a big believer in New Year's resolutions. I won't be presenting very many New Year's sermons. But I am a big believer in recognizing, remembering, and being thankful for the blessings that we have throughout our lives. And this morning and this evening, I'd like to take a little time to just reflect upon the power of the blessings that we have within our lives. Would you open your Bibles with me to the gospel that was written by John of the life of Jesus? In the first chapter and the 12th verse of the first chapter of John. Reading from the New King James, he says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believed in his name." The belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and acting upon that belief, has given us tremendous power and blessings within our lives. And I would hope that each one of us take the time, not only at the beginning of the year, but throughout the year, to reflect upon and remember those blessings. The power that is given to us within the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the power of these blessings certainly is a two-way street. God has given us the blessings we're going to talk about this morning and this evening. And we have a responsibility to take hold of those blessings and use them to their fullest within each of our lives. I think we need to remember also that as a result of these blessings, we have every right, but every responsibility to lean upon and have a confidence in God as our Father, Jesus Christ as our elder Son, and the Holy Spirit is that one who has given us the Word to direct our lives and enjoy the blessings. Take just a moment and turn over to the book of Ephesians, if you would please. I want to look at the 6th chapter of Ephesians, and we're going to be looking at that a couple of times throughout the lesson, both this morning and this evening, or this afternoon. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, I want to begin at verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. It says there, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, and in the evil day, having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And then he goes on to say to remember him as well. But within this particular passage, we have the armor of God. And while the lesson this morning is not going to be about the armor of God, we're certainly going to be reflecting upon it as part of the blessings that we have. Now, there are a number of things. If I were to ask you to list the many blessings you have, everybody would have a different list, but I suspect there are a number of those things that would be similar to our list. We might have them in varying priorities, if not priorities, just the idea of when they came to our minds. And this morning, when we're talking about the idea of the power of blessings, what we're going to begin with first and foremost is the Word of God. And the power that's found within the Word. It is the power of our salvation. We recognize and understand that truth as Paul writes to the Romans in the first chapter. In verse 16, for he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is, the original language is the dynamos, it is the power of God to salvation and to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So very clearly from this then we see the power of the gospel, the power within our lives. And we need to recognize and understand that. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, let me get this going, the first chapter, verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. That was true in the first century, but it is just as true today. Those of you who are in school, especially those who have gone off to higher education, you're going to come across more and more people within your realm of, or within your sphere of influence and being influenced, that will question the foolishness of the idea first that God ever took on flesh. And then the idea that God humbled himself to be crucified on a cross. All of that to the Greeks of the first century and to many of the intellectuals in America and around the world today just seems like a silly, silly concept. And yet we recognize that there is power within that salvation that's found in Jesus Christ. As we were reading there in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, we talked about the various armament that's presented for us, and I'd like for us to just take a moment and look as he talked about the idea of girding our loins with truth. We remember what Jesus says there in John, the 17th chapter. In verse 17, he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Now comprehend the totality of the gospel of John. It's an interesting gospel in that it begins by telling us that Jesus is the Logos. He is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Throughout his ministry, and especially in John, he references a relationship to truth with the Father, and at other times with himself, and at other times with the Holy Spirit. What he is doing in making that connection is reminding us of the absolute confidence that we are to have in the Word that God has given us. And by that I mean that we can deal with any problem, any situation that arises within our lives as we look at the Word. Now, I'm not talking about some technical book about how we carry about the various affairs of this life. But I'm talking about the fact that the truths, and we're going to look at a couple of passages later in the lesson, the truths that come in God's Word that are for our lives even today. When he talked about the idea of the breastplate of righteousness, we're reminded of Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. When he talks about the fact that we're to have our feet shod, it's with the gospel. So again, the idea of the Word. When he talks about the shield of faith, we remember what Paul says there in Romans 10 and 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If I want my faith strengthened, it's strengthened by listening to people who are sharing the Word of God or by reading for myself from the Word of God. Within this entire text in Ephesians, we're seeing the interplay of the various armaments that God has given us and also the promises from within the Word. We had read earlier there in Romans in the first chapter, verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." So that helmet of salvation clearly then is that comfort of the gospel. He ended that particular set of armaments by talking about the sword of the Spirit. And again, it gets back to that circular thought and strengthening that's given with regard to Christ being the Logos and the Holy Spirit being sent to the apostles for the Word and the Word being truth that is from the Father. All of that then assures us of the blessing of the Word. Now, a few moments ago, I mentioned the fact that in every part of our lives, the Word can come into play in times of trouble, in times of difficulty. The Word is going to give us answers. How do we become a child of God? It isn't by me standing before you and trying to witness to you something that was an experience I had someplace. It's by taking you to God's Word. As we do at the end of each sermon, we present on the screen a few passages that represent what in its totality is man's part in reaction to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So if I want to know what to do to be saved, what I do is go to the Word, and in the Word I'll find what I must do to be saved. If I want to know what to do about temptations, then I go to the Word. And remember that Paul told the Corinthians, every temptation that you face, God's got an answer for it. He has a way of escape for it. That requires of you, it requires of me, getting to know the Word, interacting with those who know the Word, and constantly building up the armament to see the ways of escape. Oftentimes, and especially with newer Christians, we fall to temptation because we haven't yet developed the faith, haven't the understanding of the Word to see the door, the way of escape that God's provided. But He provides it. And we need to have that faith and confidence that God will tell us how to deal with it. If we have to deal with problems within our lives, the Word gives us comfort. Open your Bibles with me to Psalm 23. In fact, I'm going to ask everybody, truly get your Bible out if you have one. Go in your tablet. We'll take a moment while you get there. Go to Psalm 23. I'm going to ask us to do something, and that is to have a congregational reading of Psalm 23. If anybody has any reservation about whether you should speak, especially women speaking in the assembly, let me remind you that assemblies were speaking the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs. So all we're going to be doing is what Paul told the Ephesians to do in the fifth chapter. We're just not going to do it to a particular tune. I know I'll be reading from the New King James, and I'll try not to overpower you as you read, but let's read aloud together the 23rd Psalm as we begin. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. What a comfort. We think of this as a passage for the dead. It's something to be read at a funeral. And I will tell you that in most funerals that I've conducted in my life, I've gone to this passage and I've read this passage to audiences. But we need to be reminded that it is a passage for us as we live, as we deal with hardships, as we deal with disappointments. Each and every one of us in some way have been disappointed by what someone has done to us, by what someone has said about us, by how someone hasn't lived up to what we had expected of them. And it breaks our heart. And we're saddened. And there seems to be no hope for tomorrow. We or a loved one faces death. How do we deal with it? God gave us the Word to draw comfort in those times of despair, in those times of hardship. The 23rd Psalm is such a psalm. Open your Bibles also over to Psalm 121. We're not going to do a congregational reading of Psalm 121, but I just want to share with you the thoughts that are presented in that particular psalm. There's only 8 verses. It says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Oh, at times of despair, at times of hardship, what comfort. There are people who have written beautiful poems, human beings who, without being inspired by God, have written poems that are absolutely beautiful. But let me tell you what they lack. They lack the power of God behind the words that were spoken. Was it Robert Frost who said, "Two roads diverge in a woods, and I took the one less traveled by"? That's a wonderful poem, the entirety of it. There are poems that indeed lift us up, but let me tell you something. They don't have God behind them, and that's what makes this unique. There are times of difficulty when things are going bad, when things are being really put upon you. What really hurts is when they're put upon you by your brother in Christ or your sister in Christ. The first time I was privileged to work under an eldership was in Kokomo, Indiana. And one of the elders there told me one day, he said, "You know," he was in his mid-60s at the time. I didn't realize how young that was until recently. But he told me one day, he said, "You know, Joe, the worst arrows ever slung at me were by my brethren. People that I wanted to help, people that I was trying to get to do what was right, said some of the worst things about me, did some of the worst things to try to hurt me. More so than anybody I'd ever known out in the world." This was a man who stood about 6'3", 6'4", and even at that older age, was fit. And in his younger days, he had been a boxer. He said, "No guy ever landed a punch on me that hurt worse than some verbal punches and actions that were done by my brethren." And so that's happened to all of us. But what we need to remember is that happened to Timothy as well. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy and just read what Timothy talks about in the epistle there to Timothy in the 4th chapter. He says there that Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Have you found yourself in a position where you were taking a stand on something, and even those you thought to be the closest to you, while the attack was coming on you, they turned their back? Not that they agreed with the attacks, but at that moment, in a moment of weakness, they lacked the courage to stand beside you and to hold your hand during that attack. I've experienced it. I suspect others of you have as well. Let's continue reading what is said. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Amen. Don't ever think that when everybody has temporarily deserted you, whether it's cowardice, or they're simply not there, or they're too befuddled by the moment, don't ever think that when you're standing for truth, that you stand alone. Because you never stand alone as a child of God. That's the comfort, the power that the Word will give us. And therefore it's important that we meditate upon it. Look at what Paul tells the Philippians. In fact, on the table there in the back, with the beginning of today's bulletin, if you'll notice on the front page, we're doing thoughts within the Word. Well, we're going to begin, and over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at each of the points here. As he says in Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Let us meditate on them. When we meditate on them, it helps us in defeating what Satan wants to put before us to defeat us. James reminds us in James, the first chapter, verse 21, laying aside, or therefore lay aside, all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. If you're not reading your Bible daily, you need to be ashamed of yourself, because you've been given one of the greatest tools on earth and you're not doing anything with it. If you're not reading your Bible, and this is only for computer people, in fact, this is going to date me, it would be like going through life with a Commodore 64. Instead of a modern-day laptop or tablet. A Commodore 64 meant that it had 64... Now I'm not geek enough to remember. 64 what? 64 kilobytes, just a little bit. We've got power. We've got power before us today in our computers that was unimaginable 50 years ago. If you're not in your Word each day, if you're not meditating on the Word each day, then you are letting the most powerful tool God has given you sit around and do nothing. We need the power of the Word within our lives. We just got one today. This afternoon, we're going to present another blessing. And then I'm not a prophet, but I'm seeing next week being some more blessings as well. This is going to end up being a four-part lesson. There's blessings. We need to take advantage of them. And I hope you are. Since I don't have control of my computer, I can't go to the last screens. But if you'll get your songbooks out, we're going to remind you that we're going to sing a song of encouragement. There may be some in the audience this morning who have not taken advantage of the Word, have not taken advantage of the power of the gospel that's before us, and you're still walking in darkness. You don't need to. Tonight we're going to be talking about the blessing of the blood of Christ. That blood was shed for your sins and mine. And if you're still wallowing in your sins, get out of them. Turn to Christ. Die with Him in baptism. If you're a child of God that's not been enjoying the blessings of Christ and you desire that other Christians pray with you, then let's pray together. If there's some sin that you believe the congregation as a whole would need to know about and would choose this venue to tell us, then let us pray with you about that matter that you've repented of. If you have a need to respond, we invite you to have a seat at the front as we stand together and as we sing.